This is Jay Sekulow. We've got an update on the Supreme Court appeal of Asiya Bibi in Pakistan.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to what is a very special program. And it's special because this is a case that we've been involved in for a lot of years, and we wanted to bring it to you in this case involving Asiya Bibi. I want to give you the facts and circumstances of the case. This involves a Christian mother in Pakistan who's been sentenced to death. The allegation has been blasphemy. Her case has now been heard by a special three-member bench of the Supreme Court of Pakistan just yesterday. It reserved its judgment on the final appeal. She has been sentenced to death, by the way, for blasphemy. But let's get the facts known here. And then we're going to give you an update of what took place at this very critical hearing. We got some good news coming out of the hearing. You got to pray for the judges involved with this. The pressure they're under is immense, as you can imagine. In fact, and when I sent out tweets and social media statements regarding Asiya Bibi's case over the last few days leading up to this hearing, I will tell you what happened. I started seeing these hashtag, you know, hang Asiya, kill Asiya Bibi. I mean, it got very, very serious and very aggressive very quick. Shahriar handles our office in Pakistan, as well as a lot of other international law matters for us. He was born in Pakistan, American citizen, but born in Pakistan. Shahriar, tell us about the case, what the facts were that led up to this, so people understand what this woman's been sentenced to death for.
Right. So in 2009, she was accused of committing blasphemy while she was at a farm picking berries, and that was her job. And it was a hot summer day, and she got some water for herself, and then in the same cup she offered water to two of her Muslim co-workers, who said that the water was unclean because she was a Christian and they did not want to drink water from it. They insulted her, wanted her to convert to Islam, and then that led to some sort of a heated argument at that time. 5 days later, a Muslim cleric from the village, he lodged a complaint against Asiya Bibi for committing blasphemy during that prior conversation with those two women. Now, these charges were brought after a whole meeting of the elders in the village, and about over 1,000 people gathered. They beat up Asiya, and they asked her to confess to what she basically to committing blasphemy. That was the basis of the complaint, and the complaint was filed. She was arrested. A year later, after a trial that was full of procedural and evidentiary errors, she was sentenced to death. And then about 4 years later, the High Court of Pakistan, which is a first-level appellate court, affirmed her conviction.
So for people to understand what happened here, blasphemy is a crime in Pakistan. The blasphemy here was she offered a cup of water to two Muslim colleagues, people she worked with, and the end result of that was she gets charged on blasphemy charges. What's interesting, I've got our director of policy, Harry Hutchison, Professor Hutchison, with us in our studio. When I'm reading some of the excerpts that came out of the trial, what becomes clear is actually that evidence is not in the record that there was any actual blasphemy. And the judges have said, are these things in the record? What we can conclude from your statement is that the prayer leader himself, the one who charged Asiya Bibi, did not witness the incident as it happened.
Jay, you are absolutely correct. Jay, there is little or no evidence in the record of any kind of blasphemy. The case against Asiya Bibi has always been weak. There is no eyewitness testimony with respect to blasphemy. No contemporaneous report was filed. All the evidence is hearsay and is inherently unreliable. This is an extremely weak case.
We're going to get into this. Washington's involved in it too, so we're going to talk to Than Bennett. Skip Ash, our senior lawyer on international law matters, is there as well. Big development. The hearing was yesterday. Now, normally, there'd be a verdict immediately. This is a very sensitive case, so I'm going to tell you why that verdict's probably delayed. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
And
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We decided to stay away from domestic politics for a day, stay away from Supreme Court, and focus on a case in another Supreme Court, and that's the Supreme Court of Pakistan, that we've been involved in at the American Center for Law and Justice for a long time. We have an office in Lahore, Pakistan, and there's a case involving a Christian woman named Asiya Bibi, and she has been charged and sentenced to death for blasphemy. Let me go first to Skip Ash here, senior counsel, international expert, blasphemy. In every one of these cases we've been involved in, Skip, there's always something like a blasphemy charge that's made or leveled.
Absolutely. And this is a charge that is leveled very often as a way of getting back at somebody. So we have a situation where if you have an enmity to somebody, especially a Christian, which are second-class citizens in Pakistan, if you have a row with them, some argument, very often they will allege blasphemy. And blasphemy is a death penalty case. If you're convicted of blasphemy, you're supposed to get the death penalty. So what that does, that intimidates people, and they normally are so afraid of that they will give the Muslims what they want. So this is exactly the situation we are encountering here. And let's remember, this poor woman has been in jail since 2009.
Yep.
It's now 2018. So she's been in jail waiting through the appellate process for 9 years.
Charged again with blasphemy for offering a cup of water to Muslim co-workers. The person that made the charge against her was considered a prayer leader, an imam from this particular village. He doesn't actually appear at the hearings and did not give evidence. The chief judge pointed that issue out. Now, the pressure these judges are under, it's just immense. We're going to answer your questions, by the way. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, you could either call us at 1-800-684-3110 or get your comments in and we'll answer them. Our social media team is monitoring those right now. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Than Bennett, our office in Washington, D.C. We have raised this case. Pakistan is an ally of the United States. What's been the Washington response here?
Well, this has been a multi-year effort for us, Jay, both internationally and here domestically. Domestically, the lead in this effort in the United States Congress is being led by Senator Rand Paul, who has a resolution called S-Res 107. It demands Pakistan release Asiya Bibi and reform its blasphemy laws. Jay, the important thing here about this resolution is it's bipartisan in nature. Senator Paul has 8 co-sponsors on it. 4 of them are Democrats, and they really range across the spectrum. Senator Coons, Senator Baldwin, Senator Durbin, and Senator Manchin have joined with him in that effort. You know, ultimately, Jay, we would love the United States Senate to move this piece of this resolution. Of course, the United States can't in itself mandate that Pakistan release her, though. That's why we've taken it to the Human Rights Council. I know we'll talk about that in a minute. But here in Washington, the tip of the spear is this resolution from Senator Rand Paul.
Here's what's interesting. I'm going to go back to the facts on this for a moment to Shahriar. It says, when the Chief Justice said, the witness testimony did not state that she had used blasphemous language for the Holy Quran. He said no blasphemous words were used at all. See, in her statement said that she could not even conceive of committing blasphemy. That's what the lawyer said. The Chief Justice, it seems, was wondering where all this so-called evidence was, Shahriar.
Right, and that's one of the most important things. I think what happened today was that justices were looking for the evidence. And the other side's attorney actually started, when he saw that the justices weren't convinced by the allegations, he started quoting the Quranic verses. And the justices stopped him, and they said, look, we understand that's the sanctity of the prophet is important, but that's not what's going on here. We need evidence. We're looking for evidence. You have to prove that she's guilty of a crime.
So it's interesting. We got a Rosanna on Facebook. And by the way, if you've got comments, get them in. Our social media team's looking at those, and we're taking your calls as well at 800-684-3110. If you're praying for a CBB, let us know that. Pray for those judges too. Very, very important to pray for the judges involved in this. Having this hearing was high risk. Can the international community step in, or is this solely a Pakistani governing issue? This is Rosanna. Well, there's both. There is international pressure being put on both, and we're going to get to the UN in a moment with Than Bennett, who is our designated representative to the United Nations for the European Center for Law and Justice, our European affiliate. But international community pressure is the reason Asiya Bibi is alive. We have found it time and time again with these cases, Professor Hutchinson, that keeping international pressure up is what keeps these people alive.
Absolutely. So international community pressure is absolutely necessary, absolutely essential to maintain the life of Asiya Bibi. It's clear beyond question that there are many people within the Pakistani community who are prepared to allow these blasphemy charges to go forward without evidence as a way of coercing the minority Christian population within their country. And I think it's absolutely essential for Westerners, for people from all over the world to mobilize against this effort if we are going to sustain Asiya Bibi's life and sustain the lives of Christians wherever they are throughout the world.
Skip, let me ask you this. As our international law expert here and the one who runs our international legal group, give me your sense of the nature and scope and the importance of this case. Obviously, we're fighting for this woman's life, so there's nothing more important. But this blasphemy issue is a really serious problem on a global scale.
It really is. For instance, even in Pakistan, we have determined that when you can get a fair trial in Pakistan, provided that the issue is not one of these very sensitive issues like blasphemy. So this is a problem. We have to recall that in 2011, the former governor of one of the states came out in support of Asiya Bibi, and he was assassinated because he just took the stand saying that she wasn't getting a fair trial. So the pressure on the judges is amazing. Now, what the international Islamic community, though, is concerned about is that this type of thing can bring discredit upon Islam. And I think they're as concerned about that as anything else. And therefore, the outside world needs to raise and keep the pressure on so that we say, this is not what you claim Islam to be. But look, as we look and see what happens in Pakistan, we see this law being misused and being applied primarily either as to get a vendetta against somebody or to keep down the minority populations. So we have to keep pressure on them so that her name is constantly before the government of Pakistan and before the courts of Pakistan so they will operate in the correct way.
As I said, we're taking comments coming in from Facebook and Periscope as well as your number calls at 1-800-684-3110. Vivian on Facebook wrote this: can the U.S. put pressure on Pakistan through withholding international aid? Than?
Yes, the answer is yes, and we've asked for that on this case and a number of others. Pakistan, actually, Jay, is one of the largest recipients of U.S. Foreign aid. Human rights have long been something that the United States Congress has done a poor job of drawing money down on for. Jay, we have consistently said, if you want to be an ally of the United States, human rights, especially egregious violations like this one, should be one of the criteria to continue seeing those dollars. Jay, we will make that request again next year. We think that this should should be something that should cost Pakistan U.S. aid.
Shaharia, I'm getting a lot of people. I'm looking at some of the Facebook and Periscope feed that's coming up before me, and a lot of people saying they're going to pray for the judges. Let's Skip mentioned that the governor that came out in favor of Bibi was assassinated. What's the pressure like on these judges?
Well, just by looking at today's hearing, there were a lot of Muslim clerics present in the court. I just received an email from our office there in which they have told me that a Pakistani Muslim group has released a video in which they have noticed this hearing, and they are saying that that these judges are open to releasing her and listening to the appeal was horrendous for them, and they have released that video asking for death penalty for her, and even against the judges, that they're very angry at the judges to even hear the appeal.
I don't know if we have the hashtag. We do. I want to show people what's going on the social media platforms right now by Muslim radicals that are trying to make this case. They want to see the death penalty. Look, take a look on the screen. I mean, this tells you what's going on. And I mean, hang Asiya is what that's called. I mean, there you have it. And these started showing up on my feed over the weekend as we were starting to promote the case. We've been involved in this case for many, many years, and there's always been some of this, but I think it's fair to say, well, it's never been at this. This is the highest level of social media interaction coming out of, it looks like, Pakistan, or certainly they're using Arabic and sometimes English, sometimes appropriately the English, sometimes not, but clearly they're trying to make a point here. So what Shahriar is saying, Skip, is that the judges are under an incredible amount of stress.
Absolutely.
It looks like they want to do the right thing.
I think they do. And I think what they're trying to do with this delay of the verdict or their decision is to give time for things to cool down. And then they may, just like our politicians very often release evidence or release information before a Friday or weekend where it gets minimal coverage, I think they may be looking for the same opportunity so that the passions have cooled considerably, and then when they make the decision, it will have less of a violent reaction. So I think we do need to be praying for these judges to do the right thing at the same time for their protection.
All right, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we're going to have more comments on this. Get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. Put them in there. Our social media team's looking at them now. We'll have those for you. But again, pray for Asiya Bibi, of course, and her family, but pray for those judges. Three judges, a special panel of the Supreme Court of Pakistan, heard the case yesterday. And that is, and the coming out of that, we're very optimistic. And I think what Skip just said is really important. They probably did not issue the ruling right away so they could have the right of security apparatuses in place. But again, your prayers for this are really important. I wanted to get away from domestic politics, get away from elections, talk about a case that we've been involved in for many years, as we have a lot of these cases, but this is one that now is prime because the hearing just took place. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Well, the case of Asia Bibi was heard by a three-judge panel, a special three-member bench of the Supreme Court of Pakistan on Monday. They've reserved their judgment on the final appeal against the execution of Asia Bibi. She has been sentenced to death, a Christian woman in charge with blasphemy. Again, if you're new to the case, let me go right to Shahriyar Gill, who is running this case for us, runs our office out of Pakistan. He's in the United States, born in Pakistan himself, knows this area, knows this very well. Let's talk about what this case is about again for those just joining the broadcast.
Right. So the case started in June 2009 when Asia Bibi was working in a field where she was picking berries. It was a hot summer day and she got some water and offered the water in the same cup to her two of her co-workers who were Muslims. So the co-workers responded, they said that we don't want to drink water from your cup because you've made it unclean because you're a Christian. And they invited her to convert to Islam. During that, they got into a heated argument. After 5 days, these women and the rest of the village conspired and went to a Muslim cleric who went to the police after they had gathered at a gathering of the local elders where they forced Asia to confess to something what she hasn't done. So they went to the police, and the Muslim cleric, who wasn't a witness to any of that, he filed a complaint against Asia Bibi. After a year, she was convicted after a trial that was full of procedural and substantive errors, and she was convicted to death at the trial. About 4 years later of the trial, the appeal was basically, the conviction was upheld. And since then, she's been waiting for the appeal to be heard by the Supreme Court, which happened last night.
So when that happens, normally, Shahriyar, there's a decision right away in 90% of the cases. This time, not so much, they did not do that. And you think that's for security reasons?
Absolutely. That's what happened here. In 90% of the cases, as you said, the court basically decides the decision right away. But this time, the court said that we're not going to decide it today. We'll announce the decision at a later date. And they did not even tell the date. So I think that's exactly what happened. They wanted to not create a security issue in Pakistan.
Yeah. So this coming out of you've reviewed some of the notes and some of the press reports that have come out, Professor Hutchinson, about the case. I'm looking as an appellate lawyer. I'm looking at this, and I would be feeling very good as a Asia Bibi's lawyers.
Absolutely, but you also have to look at the pressure that the justices are
Unreal.
Under. So it's an extremely weak case. We have contradictory witnesses. We have no direct evidence. We have a case largely built upon hearsay. And so the key question for the justices really is whether or not the presumption of innocence under a common law system will be applied in this particular case. It's important to note that there is little or no direct evidence on the central charge of blasphemy, but yet the justices are under intense cultural and community-wide pressure to convict an innocent human being, and that is would be tragic under the circumstances.
And then, of course, this comes with a unique political situation because Pakistan's an ally of the United States.
A big-time ally, Jay. Over the last 10 years, they've received about $22 billion from the United States, so that's an average of more than $2 billion a year. Now, President Trump dramatically decreased the request in the last year, Jay, and largely because of these concerns about human rights. But look, we as the ACLJ and the ECLJ always look for leverage points, and so U.S. aid to Pakistan is certainly one of them. We will be re-upping our request that the United States Congress address that during the next fiscal cycle. But, Jay, the other one is the international community. We don't take this to the United Nations because it's going to be dispositive there, or you will necessarily win. We take it to the United Nations, Jay, to keep Asia Bibi alive, to keep Pakistan from executing her under the cone of silence. We have taken this case, Jay, to the United Nations on four separate occasions this year alone. We do that just to keep the case highlighted inside that body.
Yeah, do we have some of the audio from some of the interventions? We'll play it for our Facebook and Periscope friends during the breaks when the program airs on. I think we do have some of the interventions. Let me say this, though, Skip. We talk about keeping her alive. I want to put these are horrible. I'm going to put these memes up, but I want people to see what's going on right now in social media. So we've been asking people to pray for Asia Bibi, and now I want people praying for those judges. But this is what's going on, and a lot of this happening. Hang Asia, it's horrible. And I'm getting these on my feed. I mean, it's kind of, my team's telling me that it's all over. It's all over. So this is kind of tells you the nature of what we're dealing with. Then we talk about, or Skip, we talk about keeping her alive. She's sentenced to death here. That's the penalty for blasphemy.
That's correct. And the issue here is, as Shahryar has already described, the evidence at the trial court was absolutely insufficient to convict in the initial matter, and then it was upheld. The bad verdict was upheld on the first appeal, and now we finally have gotten to the highest court in the land, and we're hoping that they will do the right thing, apply the law, because in one sense, if she has been falsely accused of blasphemy, that in itself is a form of blasphemy within Islam. So I think they can, depending on how they do it, they can come to the proper solution, the proper decision. The issue, though, is right now the pressure is so high on all the justices and the legal system that they have to give it a time to dissipate. They have to give it a time for the passions to cool. And then I think they can come out with a reasoned opinion, and they can then throw it back if they wish to say a false accusation of blasphemy is in itself a form of blasphemy. And then that can put people to be more careful in the future about making false accusations.
Yeah, Jim on Periscope asked this question. Again, if you got a question on Periscope or Facebook, get in. Our social media team's looking at it right now. Can the UN do anything? I feel like they're a joke when it comes to these types of cases. Actually, they can be quite helpful in these types of cases. I've got issues with the United Nations, but they can be a very important force then. To utilize international, as you said, international leverage here can be very important.
Well, I think there's a reason to be frustrated, and frankly, those frustrations were the reason that the United States officially left the Human Rights Council. But we've talked about this many times, Jay. If you put the wrong members on the Human Rights Council, their effectiveness to officially stand in the way of actions like this is very much to the detriment. So I thought the United States leaving was the right call there. But we, as the ECLJ, engaging through formal interventions, sometimes they're written, sometimes they're oral. Jay, it is one of the best platforms that we have uncovered for keeping a case like this in the visibility of the international community. And look, I'm going to tell you, if there wasn't visibility on this case, I'm convinced that Asia Bibi would not be alive today.
I was going to say, she'd be dead. I mean, Harry, Professor Hutchinson, she would be, without an international attention, that sentence would have been executed.
Absolutely. So if you look at this from the context of the domestic political atmosphere in Pakistan, this would be an easy case for the justices. In other words, they could throw out the presumption of innocence. They could throw out the rule of law because they're under intense pressure from clerics and activists to execute someone for a crime she did not commit. So it's absolutely essential to maintain international political pressure so that the outcome of this case can be reversed in her favor.
All right, we've got 30 more minutes of this broadcast, so if you want to stay with us, we appreciate that. On Facebook and Periscope, you know how to do it. If you're listening on radio, just go over to ACLJ.org or Facebook or Periscope. We're broadcasting it there. We're going to be back with more in just a minute. But again, pray for Asia Bibi, of course, and her family, but pray for these judges that are going to make that decision. Can come out at any, literally, at any moment, and it's that important that we hear from you on this. Really critical that we hear from you on this and that you're praying for Asia Bibi and praying for these judges who will make the decision. As we get more information, of course, we will get it to you. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Everyone, we're talking about the case of Asia Bibi. A special three-member bench of the Supreme Court on Monday reserved its judgment on the final appeal against the execution of Asia Bibi, but the hearing went very well. Normally, 90% of the cases, as we've said, they get a decision right away. This one, they're holding. We think that's for security purposes. Jordan has been following this case, of course, a lot of our international work, especially in the persecution issues he's been heavily involved in. This is what he had to say when I asked him about it. We have a special report on Asia Bibi. This is the case involving the Christian woman who's been sentenced to death in Pakistan for sharing her faith. They accused her of blasphemy. She's been in jail for 8 years. She's a mother. We have been heavily involved in her case. We have an office in Pakistan that's been involved directly in the case. And I will tell you how heated it's become. When we sent out a request for people to pray for her and her family and the lawyers that are handling the case, I did this over the weekend because the hearing was today, that we started this. We saw all of a sudden, the technical term, I guess, is the people that were writing really horrible things about Asia Bibi. We were saying, pray for her. People were saying,
calling for
hashtag hang Asia Bibi.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple in English. This hashtag is running through, and it's English is spoken in Pakistan as well. But it's again to anything positive about Asia Bibi. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if you tweet things out. I know with your Twitter account, but it's happening worldwide, not just to our Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
This call for what section of Sharia law to do it under.
Yep.
As we've said, this is a death penalty case. And these are primarily Muslim Pakistanis who are calling for her to be executed. So it's hang her, execute her, kill her, punish her. And again, this makes it so dangerous for the judiciary there because judges have died in the past at the top court, as well as other cabinet members who have expressed support for Asia Bibi, who's now been in prison 8 years.
How difficult do you think? I mean, we'll do this in a moment, but we'll get back to the topic. On the Asia Bibi case, just for a moment here. This was the hearing.
Yes.
Because we talked to Shahryar Gil from our office.
Right.
He said, this is it. I mean, this is.
Yeah. So next comes a verdict. And
yeah,
there's no timeline on that. Most cases in Pakistan, even at the Supreme Court, so very unlike ours, at the highest court in their land, which is a three-judge panel. And the Chief Justice did sit on this one. We know that.
Pretty brave.
Most 90% come that day.
Yeah,
like,
the verdict
right
would
from
be
the
right
bench.
Then. Yep.
This, in important cases, so the other 10%, they do take time. But I don't. It's not usually the time like here where it can be months and months and months from our Supreme Court. This could happen at any moment. There's probably a lot of security concerns at risk here. There's geopolitical issues at risk here.
Do you have a gut feeling?
I get nervous because of what these judges face. So what we saw before is even like you get to this point and judges start leaving so you don't have a quorum so you can't have a verdict. And you got to go through it again. I'm nervous about all of that because you know they're under
significant. Sounded like the hearing went very well.
The hearings have gone well for her. It's that the judges have either been killed or have quit. And again, I think we'll get people more and more update on as the news comes in.
Yeah, we're gonna give you a full hour on that tomorrow. It's that big of a case.
I would pray for the judges in that situation. I mean, I think and even the prosecutors, the government officials, the police. Her attorneys as well, of course, her family, but I know you're doing that. But especially for those judges, not on the decision, but on their safety, even while they are deciding, because what we know the other side has done is tried to harass or kill them before they've gotten to a decision point.
So I think that is the fundamental question here, and that is the concern over the judges and the impact of all of that. All right, we're taking a break. We come back from the break, we're going to take some more comments, and some calls are coming in, 1-800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope, get your comments in as well. Case has been argued. We wait. We're hoping we're waiting because they're going to set the right security apparatus in place for that case. Later in the week, Andrew Brunson's trial starts again, October 12th. I mean, there is a lot going on the international scene. That's why we wanted to take a break on this today to focus on some of these other cases. We'll be back with more. Clean your comments. Get those in for us. Again, just put them up in the comment section. Our social media team is reviewing those as you've got to. Pray for those judges as they make a decision to get rid of this death sentence for Asiya Bibi, her crime giving a cup of water to two Muslim women, and ends up becoming a blasphemy charge. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
An appropriate song for this season in this case, Where I Stand, because Asiya Bibi has been accused of blasphemy, sentenced to death. And I want to go to Skip Ash and then Shahriyar on this. But Skip, we know these blasphemy charges are the put-up charges. It's either blasphemy or national security violations.
That's always it. Whenever they have somebody who is in a weakened position, they want to take advantage of them, one of the first places they go is to allege blasphemy. And the other one is, as you said, national security. But blasphemy is the one that strikes fear in the hearts of everyone who's so accused, because it automatically, well, a guilty sentence automatically is a death sentence. And it especially is applied to minorities and the Christian minority in Pakistan. So Asiya Bibi was living under that sword of Damocles the entire time she's been a citizen there, but it finally struck home, and now she's been in jail since 2009, waiting justice at this court.
And Shahriyar, there are four points, the primary points that our lawyer representing Asiya Bibi made during the argument. Let's go over those.
Right. So he began by introducing all the evidence, by reading the evidence to the court, kind of pointing out all the discrepancies, the contradictions, the errors that were in the evidence. Then he argued that there was a 5-day delay in lodging the complaint. Remember, the incident happens with these two women and these women, and then the cleric goes to the police after 5 days. And that's usually in Pakistan, that's a fatal error in cases when there's a delay, because that shows some sort of conjured up charges. The third thing that he argued was there's a section in the criminal procedure code that requires in blasphemy cases that a permission from the provincial government or the federal government has to be obtained before a private complaint has been filed. And Asiya's lawyer actually pointed out that that never happened in this case. And only based on this error, the court should have at the trial thrown out the case, but that didn't happen. And they convicted her. So the final thing, the court basically asked, so what was the motive for these women and the clerics who filed the charges? What was the motive? Why the case against Asiya Bibi? And that's one of the things that they always ask. And then the lawyer basically told them exactly what happened, that she had given water to her co-workers who did not like that. They called her unclean, that she was Christian and she was unclean and she didn't want to. They didn't want to drink water from her, and that was the argument. And they are the ones who insulted Asiya Bibi, and that was really the motive, that they wanted to take revenge, didn't like what happened, and that a Christian could even argue with these Muslims. So
it's interesting when you look at the some of the reports that have come out, some of the media reports that have come out in the hearing, and this was the lawyer representing Asiya Bibi we've worked with. Made the statement that there was no evidence of blasphemy actually in the record itself. And then the judge, the Chief Justice, actually asked, are these things on the record? And then one of the other justices said, what we can conclude from your statement is that the prayer leader, this is who made the charges, himself did not witness the incident as it happened. No blasphemous language was uttered in the presence of the prayer leader. In other words, Professor Hutchinson, the main chargent, the claimant here, was not a party to the incident.
Absolutely. So allegations of blasphemy are very serious in Muslim countries. Asiya Bibi has been living with this charge over her head for almost 9 years. There is no factual foundation for the blasphemy charge, no evidence in the record whatsoever, yet the charge remains in place. Why? Because members of the justice system must deal with intense political, ideological, and theological pressure to execute an innocent woman.
Yep.
Against this background, intense international countervailing pressure is absolutely necessary to keep her alive. And so let's pray for the justices. Let's pray for the entire justice system in Pakistan in order to keep her alive and to see that she is set free, because the charges simply have no legal or factual foundation.
So Sandra on Facebook said this: how is the UN able to approach Sharia law when it comes to human rights? Fan, that has been an issue that we've been fighting with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and their definition of blasphemy, which is against the charter, the UN charter, which includes religious freedom and freedom of speech.
Jay, this goes back to the tone that you talked about on the social media reaction, because as you read some of the reaction on social media, what the thought that came to me is that is the tone that I hear at the United Nations when I take these cases, when we take these cases before the Human Rights Council or General Assembly or whatever it may be. Jay, there's not a lot of sympathy inside the chamber for these kind of arguments for religious freedom. And again, this goes back to the conversation that you and I had in a previous segment. We take them to the United Nations not because they're going to be able to stop Pakistan, but because it's going to shine a light on the case and it's going to shame them into not doing it. So, Jay, we really are going into enemy territory when we make these interventions. Again, yep. We said we've done four of them at the United Nations this year, but you do it to keep the exposure on Pakistan in this case. And, Jay, one other thing I'll say here domestically, the leverage point is money. The Trump administration has already pulled back $300 million from Pakistan because it hasn't been living up to its military obligations. I would suggest to you that next year there needs to be an additional drawdown because of human rights violations.
So this is an interesting comment from Linda on Facebook. She writes, shouldn't Pakistan be concerned about the imagery and fallout of this on the international stage? I feel like they cannot afford it. Well, Linda's absolutely correct. They cannot afford it. It is impacting their view on the international stage. It's impacting their relationship with the United States and other allies. And frankly, Skip, it causes them an international concern. I think that's why you had this special three-judge panel, including the Chief Justice. Very brave for them to do this in that culture.
Absolutely. And I think if we go back and look at the history of Pakistan, for a long time, they did not have a blasphemy statute. And there was a lot more peace within the society. And once they had, it was during a time of a military dictatorship when the dictator imposed this. And since then, that has encouraged the more fundamentalist Muslims, the Salufis and the Salafis and others in these schools, these madrasas, to get everybody fired up. And now we have a more fundamentalist religious basis in society, and that's splitting the society, and they are the ones who seem to put the pressure on the government to impose strict Sharia rules and strict interpretations of the Quran, and that's what we're dealing with now.
Shahriyar, how difficult is it for Christians in Pakistan?
It's very difficult, especially in the environment where the blasphemy charges not only generate court cases and police investigations, but there's a lot of danger from just the mob rule that happens there. Yep. And there have been multiple, tons of incidents where one blasphemy allegation what resulted in a mob gathering, mob of thousands of people gathering and burning entire villages in Pakistan. So that's the kind of environment Christians and other minorities live in.
But the good news in this horrible situation is we've had success, Shahriyar, in some of these other cases.
That's correct. Our office there is continuously receiving cases that are of similar nature. We have been involved in cases where mob violence has been actually thwarted because of police intervention and our team there getting involved with the police and the local governments to actually bring it to their notice before even the violence happens.
Interesting comment came in from Sujaya on Facebook. Is it safe to say the officials in Pakistan think blasphemy happened simply because Asiya said she wouldn't convert to Islam? Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and it's hard to tell, but based on what we've seen in the transcript, Harry, it's hard to tell exactly where that's coming from, but the allegation was the prayer leader in this, the imam in the community, saying she was unclean and made this offer. And that's how it was somehow blasphemous to the prophet.
So I think the caller is onto something. So if you look at the evidence in the record, there is no evidence that blasphemy actually occurred. So the caller's inference, I think, is very, very astute, that it's very, very possible that this is a made-up charge. This type of charge actually empowers the theocrats, and it empowers mob rule that subordinates Christians. And so it's very, very possible that at the end of the day, Asiya Bibi's unwillingness to convert has led to this charge, which is not grounded in fact, appears to be grounded in fiction.
The Chief Justice wondered whether the Assistant Superintendent police probe into the matter could be relied upon, to which our lawyer replied that the police had wrongfully registered the case. Then the witness testimonies did not state that she had used blasphemous language for the Holy Quran, he said, this talking about the lawyer. No blasphemous words were used at all. Asiya in her statement said that she could not even conceive of committing blasphemy. And that's because Christians understand that blasphemy is such a serious crime in Pakistan. All right, we're coming up to the last segment of the broadcast. Get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. We'll read some of those when we come back from the break. Again, your support of the ACLJ and our affiliates around the globe so we can handle cases like Asiya Bibi's and others. Big week on the international front. Pakistan and Turkey, the same week. A lot going on for people held for their faith, but pray for these judges in Pakistan. Could get that decision at any moment. Back with more in just a minute.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. So the Supreme Court, a three-judge panel of the Supreme Court of Pakistan, heard the appeal of Asia Bibi. She's been sentenced to death because of her faith. She's been charged with blasphemy. We have intervened at the UN. I want, before we play that intervention, Fan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, and our designated UN representative, we have standing with the United Nations. Talk about what an intervention actually is here.
Yeah, we always engage in these cases in a variety of ways, Jay. And you've heard Shahryar go through a lot of the legal arguments we make. We also engage domestically with that leverage point. Internationally, Jay, when we have this accreditation at the United Nations, it allows us to make what are called interventions. Sometimes they're written interventions where we file legal arguments on behalf of a victim of a wrongful religious persecution cases. In this case, sometimes they are oral interventions where one of our staff members, one of our attorneys, will go and make an intervention verbally. We'll actually appear before the chamber, whether it's the Human Rights Council or the floor of the General Assembly, and make the case verbally. So that's what you're about to hear here, where the European Center for Law and Justice, our European affiliate, took to the floor and verbally made the case inside the United Nations for Asia Bibi.
All right, here we go.
Thank you very much. European Center for Law and Justice, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The Islamic Republic of Pakistan's blasphemy laws present a continuous threat to religious minorities. In particular, Section 295C of the Pakistani Penal Code states, whoever by words, either spoken or written, or by visible representation, or by any imputation, innuendo, or insinuation, directly or indirectly, defiles the sacred name of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, shall be punished with death or imprisonment for life, and shall also be liable to fine. Since the enactment of these laws, over 1,000 cases of blasphemy have been registered, over 50 people have been extrajudicially killed by Muslim mobs or individuals, and at least 40 people are currently on death row or serving life sentences. Hundreds more have served or are serving prison terms ranging from 3 to 10 years. One prominent case is that of Asia Bibi, a Christian mother of five who was convicted of blasphemy for offering her co-workers water from her cup. The co-workers told Asia that she had made the cup ceremonially unclean by drinking from it. They ordered her to convert to Islam, but Asia refused and expressed her faith in Jesus Christ. She was charged with blasphemy, convicted, and sentenced to death. She has been in prison for the last 9 years, waiting for the Supreme Court of Pakistan to hear her appeal. Therefore, we urge this council to investigate cases of blasphemy and extrajudicial killings and to require Pakistan to repeal or amend its blasphemy laws. Thank you.
So we are handling it on the domestic level in Pakistan with the court, but we're also handling it on the international level right there at the UN. So, Skip, how important do you view those kind of interventions?
I think they're absolutely essential. We have to let Pakistan know that we have not forgotten these people who have been falsely accused, falsely convicted, and are now awaiting their sentences. And I think appearing at the UN is a very broad stage, but also having a government like the United States, which is a very strong government, or some of our allied governments make individual appeals to the government of Pakistan. I know that the Vatican has done so, and we've appealed through the Vatican the same way. There are religious groups in the West and nations in the West that continually are reaching out to Pakistan and making the appeal that individuals like Asia Bibi should not be executed for their beliefs in violation of major treaties and the provisions of major treaties that all of these nations have agreed to.
So when you look at that situation, Shahriyar, it's the lawyer that's responsible with our office in handling this. What is the realistic outcome here?
I think the realistic outcome, looking at how the judges handled the case, would be, and hopefully would be, that they would acquit her. They would overturn her conviction. But again, at the same time, they have to keep in mind the security situation. And it has to be sort of under the radar or not really publicizing what they're doing. And I think that's what the court has kind of done in this case by not giving the verdict today and just quietly releasing the judgment at a later time. So all those actions kind of support, we can ascertain that's what the court is kind of aiming for.
So what's your sense, Harry?
Well, I think Shahriyar's analysis is absolutely correct. I think the Pakistani government, the justice system, the entire country has to take a decision. The decision is, will they remain a rule of law country, or will they allow mob rule to reign? And if they go down the latter road, this will simply empower the theocrats, this will empower mob rule, and this will increase the level of subordination of Christians. So I hope the Pakistani Justice Department stands up for the rule of law and for the presumption of innocence. At the end of the day, any impartial observer looking at the evidence will find that there is indeed no evidence in support of this conviction. So I hope the justices will do the right thing and they will find Asia Bibi innocent.
You know, you're looking at the trial transcript, at least the aspects that have been reported in the press, gives an indication that the judges think that this was what we call put up charges. The witnesses aren't there that were the ones that were the accusing witnesses. The imam who wrote the accusation out does not show up in court. So the judges question both the legal foundation of this as well as the factual, the evidentiary foundation. At the same time, as Stan said, we took this to the United Nations and will continue to until she's released. And frankly, Stan, the reason we're having this hearing with any attention at all is because of what's going on internationally here. Let's be realistic. I'm not saying that somebody else couldn't have done it. I'm not, you know, we took the case and we've been very aggressive in our advocacy, both in media and in international tribunals. But the fact is, without that, oftentimes these cases, the end result is not a good one.
Well, Jay, as Skip said earlier in the broadcast, the reason these blasphemy laws strike such fear in the hearts of Pakistanis is because of two things. One, how frequently they're used, and two, how often they stick without evidence. So I think you're right to read into what the judges saw about the lack of evidence here. But look, those charges still stick in other cases where evidence is lacking. So we take this case to the United Nations to make sure that the visibility is raised. And quite frankly, Jay, I know a lot of our audience here is American. The American government has more influence on the Pakistani government than any other government in the world. The Trump administration has started to use that on the military side of things. And I would tell you, come the next fiscal year, it's time for the United States Congress to follow that lead and to squeeze the dollars when it comes to human rights violations.
James on Facebook says, can we call our senators and congressmen and urge them to engage on this? What do you think on that one quickly, Fan?
The answer is yes. They should be on Senate Resolution 107, and they should also be calling on their congressmen and senators to draw back aid if Asia Bibi is not released.
Gail on Facebook says, Jay, what practical steps can we take besides praying? Well, praying is a big part of it, a huge part of it. Pray for those judges. Also, contacting your congressmen and senators about this is important, but also pray for our legal team around the globe as they work on this issue and many others. Like it, Ross says, this is why we Americans should count our blessings. People in other countries literally fight for their lives just for their faith. That is the truth. We don't have that in the United States. We have the best system in the world in that regard, no question about it. Well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Let me just encourage you to be in prayer for Asia Bibi, prayer for her, the judges that are hearing this. As we have developments on this, we're going to get it to you. And later this week, Andrew Brunson's case back in court in Turkey. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget, your support of the ACLJ makes all of our work here in the United States and around the globe possible. You could do that by going over to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And stay engaged with us on our social media platforms, Twitter and Facebook. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.